Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Ayin Aleph. We are holding on daf Ayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the page on daf Ayin Amud Beis. We're going to have several Mishnayos. The first Mishnah is going to talk about whether we assume that our wine has been ruined if soldiers have passed through town. Do we assume that they have been menasech all of the Yayin? And the Gemara is going to perhaps be mechalik between that and whether we assume the women have been taken advantage of as far as their ability to stay married to their Kohen husbands. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss taking money in lieu of Yayin Nesech, that if a person has to pay certain taxes, or a person is owed money, rather he's a worker and a guy wants to pay him with Yayin, can he say, you know what, give me money instead? Or is that considered that he's taking Demei Yayin Nesech? What about if he asks a guy to pay his taxes for him and the guy pays with Yayin? Is that considered getting Hana'a from Yayin Nesech? And then the Mishnah in the middle of Ayin Aleph from Rav Zgnev Machlokas is going to discuss what a valid form of kinyan is for a guy, and the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether meshicha is kona for a guy, and that's going to be the majority of today's daf. That machlokas, whether kinyan meshicha works for a guy or doesn't, and in case I forgot to mention it later, that is a giant daf yomi coincidence, that dafka a few days before Pesach, we're talking about how a guy makes a kinyan, because that's obviously very, very relevant for this time of the year when we're trying to be makna all of our chametz to a guy, so it's important to know how he makes a kinyan, and we're going to insist on Mashicha, it's going to be a very big problem for us because we can't schlep him around to everybody's house to do a Mashicha on everybody's chametz. The Gemara is going to explain a certain psak that Rav had, that wine sellers should take payment before pouring the wine into the guy's kli, and the Gemara is going to try to show a whole bunch of different things from that psak of Rav. Maybe that tells us something about Kinyan Mashicha for a guy. Maybe that tells us something about Nitzok Chibur or Nitzok Eino Chibur. Maybe it tells us something about Kelev Shalokeach being Kone Bereshus Mocher. Maybe it tells us about selling a Taroves of Yayin Nesach. So the Gemara is going to try to sort out what we figure out from that Psak of Rav. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have three Rayas on this Machlokas, whether a guy is Kone B'Mashicha or he's not Kone B'Mashicha. And at the end of the day, we're going to say at the very top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph that Shema Minah Mashicha Bovid Chavim Kone Shema Minah. So we'll see how we get to that conclusion. So let's see the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Amud Beis. Baleshes Shenichnas Aliir. You have a troop of soldiers that comes into the city. Bishas Shalom. If it's a time of Shalom, they're not busy fighting a war. Chavios Psuchos Asuros Stumos Mutaros. Any open barrels in the city, you can assume are Aser, that they were Menasech. Any closed barrels remain Mutar. But Bishas Muhammad, if they came through at a time of war, Elu Ve'elu Mutaros L'fisha'in Penai Menasech. Then you can assume everything is Mutar, because they don't have time to be Menasech, they're too busy fighting a war. Says the Ran on the riff over here, that heter is only if you don't know that the guy has opened up these barrels of wine. But if you know that you left these barrels of wine closed, and the guy has been the one to open them up, then for sure they had Penai L'Nasich. The whole reason that it's Mutzah is because we assume Ain Penai L'Nasich. They don't have time to sit there drinking wine, they don't have time to be Menasich Yain. But if they had time to open the barrel, obviously they had time to drink wine. So you could forget the Chazakah, and the wine is in fact going to be Aser. In the Tshuvas Tzemach Tzedek, he points out, from the Lashon of the Ran, it sounds, you know, one might have said that, okay, if you see that he opened up, that they opened up some barrels of wine, then even the barrels that were pre-opened should be Aser, because of the whole reason that we're matir the pre-opened barrels is because of Chazaka, that he doesn't have time to busy himself with these things. But you know that he had time for those barrels, so Mehechi Tesi, that he didn't have time for these barrels as well. Nevertheless, says the Tshuvas Tzemach Tzedek, from the Lashon of the Ran, you see that only the barrels that he opened are going to be problematic. The barrels that were left open and remain open are not going to be problematic, even though apparently he did have some time to be menasech. The chazaka still remains in place for those barrels that we don't know that he had opened. So says Gemara Uramini, I'll ask you a stira. You're trying to tell me that when he comes into the city at a Shas Mulchama, when these troops come into the city at a Shas Mulchama, they don't have time to mess around with Nisuch, Ir Shekavshua Karkum, but yet the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Ksubis that if a city is taken over by troops, Kol Kohanos Shabatocha, Psulos, all the Kohanos inside are of that city are Pasul. As Rashi points out, Kol Kohanos and themselves, Betocha Psulos Lebalayan, they're Pasul to go back to their husbands, the Ashes, Kohen, Asura, af ba'ones. An Eishes Kohen is asur to her husband, even if she was Nansa. An Eishes Yisrael is not going to be problematic. It's a Shas Melchama, so we assume that that it was an ones, and therefore she can go back to her husband. But bottom line is, you do see that apparently there's time to do things other than fighting a war. If we assume that they're ma'anes, all of the Eishes Kohanim, Samra Rav Mari, Lenasech Ein Penai, live al Yesh Penai. What does one got to do with the other? He's got no time to be Menasech Yayin, he has no time for religious ritual. But to satisfy his taiva, to be ma'anes woman, that he's got plenty of time. Now you'll note that probably it takes less time to be Menasech. This is not about how much time he has, it's about how he prioritizes his time, what he values in terms of doing with his time. But Lenasech, he doesn't have time to be involved with religion at this time. But he's got, you know, especially at a Shas Melchama, where testosterone is at a high, and you assume that he's going to be more likely to be Ma'anes, to be Ma'anes women at that time. Now, Tosos raises a kasha over here that Kohanus Asuros, where the Tosos raises the kasha that the Kohanus should be Asuros if the Goyim stay after the Melchama, because then they have plenty of time after the Melchama. And the Mishnah says that maybe the Mishnah is talking about where they were only there during the Shas Melchama itself. So Tosos says that it sounds from the Gemara that the Kohanos are Asuros even before the Melchama is over. So the Chasam Sofer says, what do you mean? The Lashon of Kavshua sounds like they were already Kovesh and the Melchama was already over. And the Mishnah says, Bolesha Shenichas of the year, that's Betchilas HaMelchama. So again, Tosos' Kasha was, you're asking a Stira. It's on the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara was asking a Stira between the Yayin that was left in the city and the women that were left in the city. We said, well, how come by the women we assume the worst? So Tosos says, why don't we just say a simple answer? By the women we assume the worst because once the war is over, they're still hanging around. So that's why we assume the worst, because even after the war is over, at that point, there's Yeshlem Penai. They have time to do it. So that's what Tosos says. No. It's not talking about that they were still hanging around. There was no time after the Melchama. Kohanos Asuros is before the Gemara Melchama. So Chasam Sofer just points out, it doesn't sound that way. Kavshua sounds like the war is already over, that they were already Kovesh. When our Mishnah talks about the Yayin, it says, Boleshes Shenichnes Oli'ir. That's at the Tchilas of Melchama. Meaning, Tosos Kasha is a good Kasha. That would have been a good answer to the Gemara's question. Why does the Gemara instead distinguish between what he prioritizes? The Gemara could have just said, Kavshua means already happened. Nichnes Oli'ir means they're just coming in the first place. So why didn't the Gemara Taka give that answer? So in the Chemed Mordechai, you suggest, to answer Tosos Kasha, that if the heter of the Mishnah was only Bishas Melchama, and after the Melchama the wine would Taka be Asir, then the Tana of the Mishnah should not have made the distinction between Shas Melchama and Shlo Bishas Melchama. The Tana of the Mishnah should have given a sharper distinction, that even Bishas Melchama there's what to be Mechalik. There's Bishas Melchama while the war is still ongoing, and then there's Bishas Melchama after they've already conquered. From the fact that it doesn't make that distinction, you see that even after they've already conquered, we're still going to be Matar the Ayin. We still rely on the Chazakah that ain't Penai Lenasech. The mind is just not working on being Menasech at that time. Now, the Gemara in Ksubas also asks this same question, this same stira, between the din of Yayin and the din of the women. The Gemara gives the answer our Gemara gives, but then the Gemara gives a second answer, where the Gemara distinguishes between Chayil Shel Osa Malchus and Chayil Shel Malchus Acheres. And over here, the Gemara does not give that answer. So what's the so the Rishonim were all bothered. How come our Gemara only gives one of the two answers to this question? So first we need to understand what that second answer is. Rashi in Maseches Ksubas explains that a Malchus doesn't want to destroy the Bnei Yair, wants to protect it so that it can use them to collect taxes. So it's going to worry so they're going to try to make sure, the king is going to make sure they don't go around pillaging and destroying the whole city. Tosos says the opposite, that when it's Osa Malchus, they're not worried at all, and they have plenty of time to do whatever they want. Whereas it's Malchus Acheres, it's unfamiliar territory, so that's where Ein Lehem Penai. They always have a pachad of maybe a neighboring army is going to come. They don't know the territory so well, so they're always too concerned to be messing around. So according to Rashi, Tosos points out we could say that Chizkiah is not trying to be Matari to the steer between the Mishnayos. He's moda to Rav Murray's chiluk between Yayin Nesach and Kohanos, that Nisuch, there's never time for. The wine is never going to be Asir. Chizkiah just adds that by Kohanos, there's going to be a way that it's Mutter as well. If it's Chayil Shalos Amalchus, then where they're going to want to protect the people and make sure nothing happens. So that's why our sugya doesn't have to mention that chiluk, because it has no nafkamina li'inyan nisuch. That's not another chiluk between nisuch and Kohanos. That's another heter for Kohanos beyond what the initial heter for Kohanos. So that's got no shaychus to our sugya. So then you understand very well why it doesn't appear in our sugya. Okay, then you got to figure out according to Tosos why it doesn't appear in our sugya. So the Ritva says, yeah, and even according to Tosos, shall osa malchus yeshlam penai. That's only but when it comes to Kohanos. When it comes to nisuch, even shall osa malchus is because they simply don't have any yetzer hara to be menasech. So the first, the second answer that the Gemara gives over there, bein l'Rashi, bein l'Tosos, is only really nogeya to the halacha of Kohanos, is not nogeya to the halacha of Yayin Nesach. Rav Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemed raised a shayla that a Jew passed out, and they were sitting around, let's say, the Seder table or something, and a Jew passed out, so someone screams out for a doctor, and the doctor that comes is a guy. And they all clear the room so that the doctor could work on the patient, and then they come back in the room, and they realize they left the guy alone with the wine. All the wine was non-Mavushal wine left out on the Seder table. There was a Jew in the room, but he was passed out on the floor. So they don't know what's the halacha in terms of the wine. So he quotes a Tshuvas HaRash and Klal Yotes that a Jew who leaves his house open and his wine is by the window and it wasn't closed, and a guy brings a zona into the house and closes the door. The Tshuvas HaRash brings a zona into the house and closes the door. So once the guy leaves, the Jew comes in and he realizes, I left my wine alone with the guy. Don't worry about the wine. The guy was plenty busy. He didn't have penai to be menasech. He was too busy with the woman. So Zilberstein thought that, and that's halacha psuk and shulchan aruch, by the way. Yerdeh esim chuf chavtes, siv tes vav. So and the gra on the spot, sivkan lamadal, it says, oh yeah, just like avodah zarah, ein alef amralef, lenasech ein penai. So here also he's tarit. So says Rav Zilberstein, l'chora, a doctor trying to save a patient's life is also tarid. He's not going to have time to take a break to be menasich yayin, so we don't have to be concerned at all about the yayin in that situation. Okay, new Mishnah now. Ho'umnin shal Yisrael shal shalach lam ovicham chavis shal yayin nesach b'scharan. If let's say you have you have Jewish workers and the Ovid Chavim pays them with Yayin Nesach, Mutter Lomar Tein Lanu Estameha. So you can you're allowed to tell the non-Jewish employer, don't give me Yayin Nesach, give me the value of that Yayin Nesach, and it's not considered that you're getting Hana'ah from Yayin Nesach. He hasn't yet paid you, so you're just asking him to pay you in cash instead of in Yayin. Mishenichnas al Rishusan Aser. However, once you've already taken possession of the Yayin, you're not allowed to exchange it out and say, here, take back the Yayin, give me money instead, because that's called that you're getting Hana'ah from the Yayin Nesach. Amar Avidam Rav, Mutal Adam Lomar Lov Chavim, Tseva HaFes Alay Menasa Melech. A person is allowed to tell the Novik Chavim, do me a favor and satisfy my tax obligation to the king for me, even though that tax obligation is to give the king a percentage of his wine, and the guy is going to be giving wine to the king. Nevertheless, you're allowed to do that. That's not a violation of getting Hana'ah from the Yayin. Meisvei Al Yomar Adam Lov Chavim, Ol Tachti LaOtzar. But didn't we say that a person is not allowed to tell the Novik Chavim that go and take my place to satisfy my tax obligation to the king? So you see that you're not allowed to do it. Armalei Rav, Ol Tachti LaOtzar Kamrit, Halo Damya Laha, Aval Omer LaMalteini Mina Otzar. If he says Ol Tachti, saying Achinami, that's going to be a problem. When you say Ol Tachti, you're saying whatever you're doing, you're my shliach, it's as if I'm doing. So if you're going to be giving Yayin to the king, that's as if I'm giving Yayin to the king. That's Hana from Yayin Nesek, that I can't do. But if I just say, do whatever you can to get the king off my back. I don't care how you do it. So then it's not that whatever you do is me. It's that you could pay with money. You could pay with yayin. You could do the people always are happy to accept cash in lieu of yayin. If you give him money, I'm sure he'll be very happy to accept the money. So that's not you acting as my shliach in my stead. And that would be mutter. Right? This menas ha-melech, Rashi says, is a mas that you give from the grain. And this Jew was chayiv to give yayin. So that's the whole issue over here, that it was dafka yayin. The Rambam in Macholos Asuros, Parakut Gimel, explains that when the king has a lot of wine, he sells it to people bal karcham. So he says the Jew has an obligation over here to buy the wine, and he's telling a guy that to buy the wine in his place, meaning it's working the opposite. It's not that you're paying a tax of wine, it's that the king's got these vineyards and he can't sell these bottles of wine that he's got. I guess they're not so good, or he's got too many of them, so he would make an obligation that people have to buy wine from him, that's the Menas HaMelech. Okay, be that as it may, that's the issue in terms of paying taxes as far as wine is concerned. Now the primary sugi of today's daf, the Mishnah in the middle of Ayin Aleph Amin Aleph. Hamokra Yenu Lo V'Kachavim Pasak Atchlo Madad Dom of Mutarin. If a person sells wine to an Ovi Kachavim, so if he establishes a price before he measures out the wine, then the money that he gets is going to be mutter, because the guy already has smichas das at the establishing of the price, and it's the guy's wine. By the time it's measured out and the guy actually could do anything like being menasich, it already belongs to the guy. So you're allowed to get money because you're getting paid for a transaction that took place with kosher wine. At the time that the transaction, at the time of Psikas Damim, which is the moment of the transaction, it was kosher wine. But Mada Dachelo Pasak Dama Vasurin. But if it was measured out before they came to an established price, before they set the price, so then he was Nisnasech before there was ever a Gemar Kinyan. So whose wine was Nisnasech? The Jew's wine. Now if you're going to get money for that, that's going to be called that you're getting Hana'a from Yayin Nesach. So says the Gemara, Ammar Ameymar, Meshicha Ba'ovid Chavim Kona. The way an Ovid Chavim makes a Kinyan is with Meshicha. Meshicha works for an Ovid Chavim. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Teda, Dahani Parsai Meshadri, Pardashni La'adadi. These Parsai people are always sending gifts to each other, V'lo Hadribu, and they would never back out. Once a Meshicha is done, that's it. The deal is done, and there's nothing else that they would never back out from that. So you see clearly that Meshicha is Kona by an Ovid Chavim. Ravashi Amar, the Olamim Lach Meshicha Ba'ovid Chavim, Eina kona. No, I'll tell you, the Meshicha does not work by an Ovid Chavim. V'haidlo hadribuhu. Why aren't they chozer and all their kinyanim all the time if Meshicha doesn't really work anyway? Why aren't they chozer? The Ramas Rucha hu de Nikita luhu. That's stam an issue of gaiva, that they have too much gaiva, they have too much pride to back out on what they've agreed to. But that's not about an actual formal kinyan and whether the kinyan Meshicha works or not. So here's the machlokas. This machlokas amarayim, does Meshicha work or does it not work? Tosos writes in Dibra Maskul Ravashi that this is a machlokas la'alacha between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi holds that a goy is only kona b'kesef and not b'meshicha. Rabbeinu Tam holds a goy is kona b'meshicha, and therefore, if you need to be maknes something to a goy, and the example historically was not chametz, the example historically was a behema hamivakeres. The halacha is that a firstborn behema Torah is going to have kedusha to it. So when there's no beis hamikdash, it's not good to have animals with kedusha walking around. So the best way to deal with that is before the mother gives birth to its firstborn, sell it to a guy, and then it will be born into under a guy's ownership. It won't have kedusha. So that's the mechira. It's still done ad hayom, that when a Jew owns animals, they do this. They do this when a religious Jew owns animals, they'll do this mechira, just like we do a mechiras chametz. So Tosa says, yeah, you should be choshish for both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Have the guy give kesef, and also have the guy do a meshicha. And the Mishnah Berurah says, l'chadchila by mechiras chametz, halavai, we should be able to do that. Have the guy give kesef and have the guy do a meshicha on the mechiras chametz, on the chametz as well. But problem is, of course, that if we're going to schlep John Brown around to every single house that he's being kona the chametz, do a meshicha on all the chametz, it would take forever. He would never be able to do that, and we wouldn't be able to find a guy willing to do it, to do a meshicha on all that chametz. chametz. So what do we do in terms of kinyan? That's why we have a million different chumras. We have 18 different kinyanim that we do. We lease the property, and there's a kinyan agav, and there's a kinyan karka, and there's a everything in addition to the kinyan kasef. We do all these things because we can't do the basic thing that obviously works, which is kesef plus mashicha, and that would be the end of it, and that would for sure be a kinyan. That's why we have all these additional kinyanim. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva though, Nigros Moshe Archaim Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Gimel. Rav Moshe writes when it comes to mechiras chametz that if a rabbi is selling on behalf of many many people, he should be makbid at the very least that if he's going to for the kinyan kesef, that he receives a shava pruta for each household because he's a shliach of each individual person, and therefore to have a kinyan on that person's chametz, there needs to be a shava pruta that changes hands. That's the way it works. He's making the kinyan with this money, so it has to be a shavah pruta for each and every mocher. And he says, and if the smallest matbeah in the Medina is worth more than a pruta, he should be makbid that he takes the at least a penny. That's be the smallest, even if a pruta is worth less than a penny, because that's the that would have a din pruta since it's the smallest matbeah. It happens to be that a pruta is worth a little more than a penny. I think Rabbi Willick studies the numbers every year to figure out exactly how much a pruta is worth, to figure out how much John Brown should give. But he gives us money. He gives us basically, we have to tell him, I'm selling on behalf of 125 people, and he cheshbens out the pruta for each person, and he comes with a briefcase full of rolls of quarters so that he can give each rabbi at least a pruta for to be kona the chametz. Then he gives another pruta for each household to be kona the karka, the lease of the karka, through which he's going to make another two kinyanim on the chametz. So there's a pruta for two prutas for each household. L'chora, if it weren't an absolute chazaka that all of the mochrim are mochal and actually receiving that pruta by the rabbi taking that money and either putting it in his pocket, which I had never seen anyone do, or just putting it back down on the table and leaving it there by the rabbi doing that, he's stealing from all the people that he's selling chametz for, because that money is supposed to be delivered back to the people. It's a shavah pruta for all those people. So, but there's an absolute chazaka, I think, that everyone is mochel, that they're not interested in getting that pruta. You know, if their chametz gets bought, if he goes through with the mechira, even at the end, he doesn't resell it back to us, people will be insistent that they get the remainder of the payment. But even then, they're not going to be so makbar in getting that initial pruta. They'll be makbar in getting the rest of the payment. So then you'd be sure that we wouldn't leave that money on the table over there. We'd be sure to deliver that money. But that's based on this idea of Ramesh. Now, other poskim, Chalkas Yov, is not so sure. If you're selling for a whole group of people, he says, maybe you're allowed to take a pruta for everyone together. You know, the Gemara has a suffix in Kiddushin. If a person is Mekadesh Shtei Benos of Akatanos to another guy's two sons, so do you follow the Nosin and the Mekabel and it's good enough with one Pruta? Or do we say, no, there are two Kiddushins going on over here, so each Kiddushin needs a Pruta? So the Gemara leaves it as a Teku. So, okay, so we would be Machmir, obviously, if it's a Teku. So he says, but that's only when it comes to things. Says the Chalkas Yov, maybe that's only when it comes to things that you can't be mitzarif together. Shtei nashim cannot be miskachos or miskarshos with a single shtar, or bidcha v'karkaecha. Those types of things are clearly two different kinyanim. So that's where the Gemara has a suffix. But mechiras chametz or mechira of anything where you could be mitzarif altogether, maybe you can have a pruta achas for everything. So maybe there's reason to be mechalik. But nevertheless, we assume that if you're somebody's shliach, if the mishaleach could not have done the kinyan for less than a pruta, then the shliach can't do the kinyan for less than a pruta for each mishaleach either, because the shliach can't be authorized to have greater koach than the mishaleach. That's what we're very makbid, like Rav Moshe says, to make sure that there's a pruta for each and every one. But this machlokas, whether a guy is kona b'mashiach or not, has other ramifications as well. Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva in Chelek Vav Simon Kuf Tzayin about a Jewish bakery or a Jewish bake shop that buys from a commissary that it's owned by a non-Jew that does all the baking. Now there's a hashkacha there, there's a mashkiach there. The question is, all the baking is done by this non-Jewish owned commissary, and the Jew, let's say the Jewish caterer, buys from this place. So when the non-Jew is baking, does he have to? Does the hashkacha need to insist on a fresh haskala? Is there any chiv of, because it's all being done for the Jew? So it all depends on, was there a kinyan, was there not a kinyan? So the first time the bakery, the commissary ever made anything for this caterer, of course they took money first, they weren't going to take the risk. But as they have a relationship, so they bill them later. So they don't pay them on the spot. So it's not just stam, okay, might as well be mafresh chala. No, because it's brachal of atala. If you can be mafresh with the brachal, it would be brachal of atala. So Minchas Yitzchak thinks that absolutely not, that there's no requirement whatsoever. Not only that, he says that even if they prepay it, it's not so pashut that you're coming with kesef either. You know, kesef plus mashicha, maybe you still wouldn't be mafresh chala. Maybe there are enough other snifim lahakel not even to be mafresh without a bracha in that situation. Okay, so now says Gemara, let's get into some rayas as to who's correct in this machlokas. I mean, we have this machlokas, is a goy kona b'mashicha, which shita is more correct? So first the Gemara, before the Gemara tries to prove it from any mishnayos or brises, the Gemara is going to try to prove it from a psak halacha that was issued by Rav. So Amar Rav Ashi, minah minila, how do I know that mashicha is not kona by a goy? Midam le Rav lahanu saviyasa, because Rav said to certain people who were selling wine, ki kailisu chamra, when you measure out the wine loaf, the chavim shekalu zuzi minayu, first take money from them for payment, and then afterwards measure out the wine and give it to them to be moshech. And if the goyim don't have any money with them, so that this is not an eitzah, then usfinu, make sure that you turn it into a loan, that they owe you the money, and only then, and later on, you'll take the money for the wine, so that this chiv of money will be betoras halva'a, and when they pay that money later on, it's going to be paying back a loan. It's not going to be paying for the wine. It's considered a separate transaction of a loan when they pay you back later. Because if you do not do this, if you measure out the wine before you receive payment or turn payment into a loan, when the wine is nisnasech and it becomes aser, it's happening under your ownership in your jurisdiction. V'chisha kiltu, and therefore when you subsequently take money for that, demei yayinesech kasha kiltu, you are taking money of yayinesech. But if you hold that Mashiach works as a kinyan for an Ovid Chavim, midamashka, from the very moment that he does the Mashiach, Ovid Chavim kanya, the Ovid Chavim is already kona the wine and has to pay the money, and Yayinesach laviyad nagabe. But it's not Yayinesach yet until the guy touches the wine. When he's Moshech, he hasn't yet touched it, so it should be totally mutter. So why would the Jew have to be so makbid? Why is Rav insisting that he has to be so makbid about taking the money, even if he takes the money after the Mashicha? It's not money for Demei Yai Nesach. The Mashicha already made it the guy's. By the time the guy was Masnasech, it already belonged to the guy. So there's nothing wrong with taking money for that. So from the fact that Rav insisted on this, you see that Mashicha is not kona for a guy. It's ma'os that's konos for a guy. So Rav was very makbid that they should get paid before the guy ever touches the yayin to be menasichit. So the Gemara says, nah, not necessarily such a great raya. Iduka kayil v'rami l'manu d'Yisrael. If the Jew were measuring it out and putting it into a kli that belongs to a Jew, hachinami, then you're right that it's a raya from Rav to Ravashi. But really, that's not the case where Rav gave this warning to the Mochrim. The case where Rav gave this psak, you better take the money before they do the Mashicha, is where it's going to be the Jew is measuring out and putting it into the kelim that belong to a guy. So what? What's with the kelim belong to a guy? Well, there's a little bit of wine in the kelim, wine that's already yayinesech. So now, whatever wine you're pouring into that kelim is being misarev, it's mixing in with the wine of the guy. So even though Mashicha's kona, you can't rely on the fact that a Mashicha is being done before the nisuch, because the tarovis is happening before the mashicha, and therefore when you subsequently get paid for that, you're getting paid for wine that's aser. Sof sof kimata lavir demana kanya, says Gemara, wait, that's not such a clear dechia to this raya, because maybe when the wine goes into the airspace of the kli, the guy is already koneh with the kinyan agbah. Yainesch lavi adamati lari demana. It's not going to be yainesch until it lands in the kli and actually mixes together with the wine that's already in the kli. Shmamina nitzo chibur. So says Gemara, maybe we should say that you see from here that the steady stream of wine attaches all the wine together and will therefore asher the wine that's still not yet even in the kli. Meaning, since it's a steady stream that goes down to the bottom of the goy's kli, and at the bottom of the goy's kli there is yayin nesach. So not only is the wine that already hit the goy's kli considered yayin nesach, but even the wine that's in that same stream of wine is going to be yayin nesach. And maybe that's why Rav was so insistent. So Gemara says, "Lo, you cannot prove from here nitzok chibur because he did not have the chavim lekli biyade hachinami." You're right. If the guy were holding the kli in his hand as you were pouring it in, so then you'd be able to prove nitzok chibur. But that's not the case where Rav warned the mochrim. Lo tzrich demanach ha'ara. The case was that the barrel of the guy was on the ground. The guy wasn't holding it at all. So the yayin is the guy is not being koneh the yayin with hagbah while it's still in the avira kli. So even if you're going to say nitzok ezeinu chibur, the yayin is going to be asr before the kinyan is done, because the yayin becomes asr as soon as it hits the bottom of the kli. But the guy is not koneh it yet because he's not holding the kli. The guy is only koneh it afterwards, after the wine comes to a rest in the bottom of the kli. So says Gemara, still further v'tikni lekelav, there should be a din that the avir of a rishus of a person could be koneh for him. So the kli belongs to a guy, so he should be koneh the yayin not only when it comes to rest in the bottom of the kli, as soon as it comes into the avir of the kli, well before he ever does a nisuch. So in order to be miyashiv why he's not koneh through the avir, and why Rav is so nervous about this, that it's already misnasech, unless you take the money in advance, what you have to say is that the avir of the kli is not able to be koneh for him. Why not? Oh, must be because the kelim of a lokech in the rishus of the mocher, the lokech is not able to be koneh. But that's hard to say, because the Gemara and Bab Basra of Pehei has a suffix about that. Is kelim shel lokech rishus mocher koneh or not? The Gemara is mesupik about it. Now we're going to say, oh, it's obvious. Rav thought that it was obvious. So it says more low. You cannot prove from here that kelim shel lokech is not koneh rishus mocher. Really, it could be kelim shel lokech rishus mocher. The lokech is Kona. V'ach ma'eskinon kigon di'ika akeves yayin apume dekuzanta. Over here, Rav's talking about where as you're pouring it into the kli, right at the very edge of the kli, there's some yayin nesach, and all the yayin you're pouring into the kli is going through that edge of the kli. Dekama insichle. Every drop that you're pouring into the kli is becoming yayin nesach on its way in, and only subsequently does it go into the avir of the kli, and the guy is kona. So by the time the guy is kona, it's already become a problem of yayin nesach. So it turns out that Rav told these sellers, you better take the money before you measure it out, because when you're measuring it out, there's going to be some mixture of your yayin with yayin nesach before the kinyan happens, so it's all going to become aser, and then by the time the guy's paying you, he's paying you for aser wine, and that's going to be problematic. But what's the issue? It's this taroves, that this wine that's totally kosher is getting mixed on the way in with non-kosher wine. Is that necessarily a problem? If I have a tarovas of yayin that's kosher with yayin nesach, can't I just sell the whole thing and just subtract the price of the yayin nesach? Who says that that's going to be usher? So says Moro Kaman, the Lord of Shimon Gamliel. It seems that Rav's concern is against the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Dear Rav Shimon Gamliel, lo amar yimachar kulo, lov dechavim chutz midmei yayin nesach shmo. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, we're going to see on Daf Ayin Dalit, the yayin nesach that falls into regular yayin shal Yisrael, the Jew is allowed to sell the whole tarovis to an Ovid Chavim, just subtract the price or the value of the yayin nesach. So what's Rav so worried about? It must be he disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, No. Different types of tarovis. Midi utayma el rav. Ha'amirav alach Rav Shmuel Gamliel chavis b'chavis. Avalo yain b'yain. Rav agrees Rav Shmuel Gamliel that when there's a mixture of kosher wine and non-kosher wine, you could sell the whole thing and just deduct the price of the non-kosher wine. That's when there are barrels of kosher wine and barrels of non-kosher wine, and you can't identify which barrels are which. But the kosher wine and non-kosher wine never mix together. But if you have that lach b'lach, that it's mixing together in the same barrel, Rav would say, Rav Shmuel Gamliel, we don't pass on Rav Shmuel Gamliel and that all the wine becomes aser. You're not allowed to get in any anah at all. So now that we brought that raya from Rav, and we saw what else that raya might come to prove, the Gemara is going to bring three rayas from Divrei Tanaim, whether we could prove that Mashiach is kona or Mashiach is not kona when it comes to an oved kochavim. So the Gemara raises the first of the rayos as follows. So meisvei halokech grutaos min ovid chavim. If a person buys silver pieces from an ovid chavim, umatzav an avod chavim, and amongst the silver pieces you find a little getchka, you find an avod zara. Im atshlo nasan maos mashach. If you did the mashicha before you paid, yachsir, give the avod zara back to the guy, because you were never kona to be so you have no chiyuv to destroy it. But im ishan nasan maos mashach, if you paid and then you did the Mashicha, Yolach Liyamamelech. Then you have to destroy it, you have to throw it to the Yamamelech, because you can't be Chozer after a Mashicha was already done. So this is Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, which is also the Olam. There's no way to take away its status of Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says, Yisal Kedayt Mashicha V'Chavim Kana Amai Yachzir. But if Mashicha works for an Avodah Chavim, why in the first situation can you give it back? The Jew was already Moshech, and therefore he was Kona B'Mashicha. So from the fact that he's allowed to give it back to a guy, you see that Mashiach B'Gai is Eino Kona alone. And that's a Kasha and a Meimar. Some Rabbi Mishum Demechzi Kimekach Taos. He says, no, Mashiach, it's not because Mashiach is not Kona B'Gai. It's the reason that you give it back is because it looks like a Mechach Taos. That since the Jew doesn't want to be Kona the Avodah Zarah, it turns out that all the Mashiach of all of the silver that he was Moshech was a Kinyan B'Taos, and that's why we disqualified. It's not that Mashiach is not a good enough Kinyan, but this Mashiach was done B'Taos. He didn't know that he was getting Avodah Zarah in the mix, so that's why the Mekach is not Chal. So Amar Rava says, Reisha Mekach Taos, Sefer Lav Mekach Taos. Then how do you explain the Sefer? Why is the Sefer not a Mekach Taos? What, over there all of a sudden he wants to be Kona an Avodah Zarah? Why don't we say in that case that he can return it also, because the whole thing was a Mekach Taos? Ela Amar Rava, Reisha V'Sefer Mekach Taos. You're right. They're both a Mekach Taos. You know why in the Sefer he can't return it? Reisha Delo Yaev Zuzei Lomis Chazi Kavod Chavim Yad Yisrael. In the Reisha, that's the only issue we have to look at, is whether there was a Kinyan or not. So there's a Mekach Taos, there was no Kinyan, and that's fine. But Sefer Yaev Zuzei Mischazi Kavod Chavim Yad Yisrael. In the Sefer there's an additional concern. Aside from the Mekach Taos issue, it looks like he just, because he paid, it makes it look like this is Avodah Zarah B'Yad Yisrael. So if you were to give it back, and the guy were to give him back his money, it would look like the Jew is selling Avodah Zarah to a guy, and that would be a terrible, a terrible visual of a Jew, looking like a Jew selling Avodah Zarah to a guy. Let me give you another raya to the Shita of Amemar that Mashiach is Kona for a guy from our Mishnah. A person sells his wine to an Ovid Chavim, Pasak at Shalom Madad, and they come up with a price before they ever measure out the wine. Dam of Mutarim, the money is going to be Mutar. V'yam Mashiach of Chavim in a Kona, but Mashiach doesn't work for an Ovid Chavim, Amai Dam of Mutarim, why would the money be Mutar? The guy has not yet been Kona, so the Yayin that's Nisnase is in the Rishus of Yisrael when it's Nisnasech, so he should not be able to get money for that. Says Mar Hacham Eskinon to Aktim Le Dinar. Now the Mishnah is talking about that the guy gave a little bit of money first to the Jew before they did the psik of exactly what the price is going to be. He knew it was going to be more than a dollar, so he gave a dollar to the Jew as a form of kinyan, and then they'll figure out the exact price and the medida. So at that moment, the guy was already kona the wine, and therefore when it was subsequently Nisnasech, it was Rishus of Shal Guy, that's not the Jew's price. problem. But if that's the case, that he gave a dollar in advance, so then why does the Seifa say madadat shelo pasak dama basurin, that if you measure it out before you figure out the exact price, the money's going to be asur? If he gave you a dinar in advance, why would the money be asur? He's already been kona with that dinar, and it was nisnasech in the rishus of the guy. So Ravashi answers, no, and even according to you who think that Mashiach works by Novichavim, Amai Reisha Dhamma Mutar Mesefa Dhamma Vasurin, how do you explain the discrepancy between the Reisha and the Seifa? If the Mashiach is Kona, it should be then in the Seifa that the Dhamma would be Mutar as well, because he's Moshech Lekli, and only then is he Nogea B'yayin. So Lamai Yisach Lamemar, what are you going to have to say to be Mechali between the Reisha and the Seifa? That Pasak Sam Chadaite, that if they decided on a price, so he wants the Mashiach to work as a Kinyan because he has absolute smichas das. Lo pasak, but they haven't yet decided on a price. Lo sam chadaite. He doesn't want the Mashiach to complete the Kinyan because he doesn't yet have peace of mind that this is a Kinyan that he's happy with. And therefore, the Mashiach won't work in that situation to be Kona. So the Yayin is Nisnasef while it's still in the Rishus of the Jew. And that's why it's Asar Banas. So says Rav Ashi, just like you're going to have to be Matarit that way, Lididinami. Afagav the Kadam Ledinar, even if he gave a dollar, and that dollar is enough to make a Kinyan, yeah, but Pasak Som Chadaite, Lo Pasak Lo Som Chadaite. It's enough to make a Kinyan when everyone is happy, when everyone has a certain sense of Smichas Das, but if there's no Smichas Das, it's not enough to make a Kinyan. Amrli Ravina Leravashi Tashma, I'll bring you another Raya. Damrul Chia Barabba Rabbiokhman, Ben Noach Nerag, Al Pachas Mishav Pruta. A Ben Noach gets killed for stealing even less than a Shav Pruta, Velonit on the Yishavon, and the guy doesn't have a Chiv to be Meshav the Gzela, because the Jew is Mochel, Pachas Mishav Pruta. The E Amrit Mashiach Bovichav Me'ina Kona, Amai Nerag. But if you're going to say that Mashiach doesn't work as a Kinyan for an Ovid Chavim, then why would the guy get killed? By being Moshech the Gzela, he was not Konit, so it still belongs to a Jew. So how can you say he's going to get killed? So says Gemara, you're right. No actual form of Kinyan, Mishum Detzare Li Yisrael. He gets killed because of the tsar that he caused to a Jewish person. When we say lo nitin lishavon, it means it's not shayach to do hashava, because the guy was never kona it, so there's no hashava. It was never his in the first place. You can't call that hashava when you give back something that you never had even a kinyan gezela on. Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up with that third raya again tomorrow and go from there.